Steve Hogan was sitting right beside me, the singer from Marillion. And
Steve Hogarth.
Sorry, Steve Hogarth. Steve Hogan, yeah, the wrestler. I was like, wait a second.
We'll just call that man Hogan's Heroes from now on.
Yeah.
Hey, Prog fans. Welcome to another episode of the Ultimate Prog Podcast Project. My name is Tony, and as always, I'm joined by...
Lee.
Craig.
We are three friends and Prog aficionados, here to talk about the history and the craft of progressive music, while sprinkling in our always unvarnished opinions of the music and the personalities that make this genre so great. You can find us on X, formerly known as Twitter, and Instagram on the handle at UP3Show, or on Mastodon at UP3Show on the mastodon.social server. You can also find us on our homepage at up3show.com, where we put extra stuff out there from time to time. And I think Craig has plans to put even more stuff out there soon.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And then if you'd like to reach out and tell us what you think of the show, feel free to email us at up3show@gmail.com. If you just can't get enough of the show and you love what we're doing here, don't forget to hit the subscribe button on our podcast page, either at up3show.podbean.com or wherever it is that you get your podcasts. This will make sure that you never miss an episode and helps other prog fans find the show. Hey, guys, we're going to talk about Cruise to the Edge.
Yes.
Did you guys go on that?
Yeah, I was thinking about it.
It happened. It's in the past.
So we're going to talk about that today. Before we do, though, we're going to do our normal check-in with each other. And so, Craig, what have you been up to since last time?
I've been playing a lot of music. We did a gig at a bar downtown, sold 87 tickets. We made money. The venue didn't want to pay us, so we're getting the full exposure into the music business, which was really fun.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was a pain in the butt. But eventually did. They just sort of slow walked, and I think they're having cash flow problems. Good reviews, and we're starting to get more gigs.
Nice.
We're looking at the corporate route, like 55 and older communities, apartment communities, things like that. They all have entertainment budgets, I found out.
Very cool.
Oh, nice. Retirement homes and bat mitzvahs.
Exactly. You know, funeral homes actually pay really well.
Yeah, and you get no complaints.
Really? Ballads? I'd figure more dirges, yeah. But, you know.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of pedal tones, you know.
Nice. What about you, Lee? What have you been up to since last time?
Yeah, just getting caught up at work again after taking off for Cruise to the Edge. So getting back into the swing of that. And it also looks like I've got some business travel coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also had some time to get back in the studio and get caught up on a home video project that I plan to launch towards the end of the year.
Mm.
And I will say more about that as we get into the summer.
Yeah, for me also, a lot of the work stuff, I've got really weird travel season right now. And so I'm constantly either doing some kind of planning event or traveling somewhere, and that's been awful. And then in the midst of all of that, my primary USB recording interface, my Scarlett 4i4, just up and died, and Focusrite is kind of screwing me over on warranty support.
Oh, man.
I reached out to a friend of the show, Jeff Bacente, and was like, hey, for what we do, what do you recommend? And he and I talked through it. And so a shout out to him. And we've mentioned it before, but the recording at home tutorial that he's done, he helped me go through that and figure out what a good replacement interface would be.
What are you going to get?
I'm looking at the Motu M4. Actually, once we record today, I'll probably be making the purchase on that. I was trying to work with Focusrite as long as possible until it became abundantly clear they weren't going to do anything to help me.
That is not the first time I've heard that about Focusrite.
Really?
Yep. Even though I own some of the gear.
Yeah, so Jeff was recommending the Motu. I'll probably be getting that.
I just want to say, be careful about Motu. I used to own a lot of Motu interfaces, and they were always really, really late on drivers.
Ah, okay. Which is probably something I need to pay attention to, because for me, I record either on Windows or Linux, and Jeff mostly records on macOS.
Yeah. I can't really speak to Linux, but Windows support. Driver updates tended to lag behind Windows updates.
Yeah. The fun of recording a show and instruments.
Yeah.
It was something related to my guitar, because I sat down, I had an idea in my head. As soon as I plugged in my guitar, the Focusrite fell over.
What?
And I had it set for instrument and all of that, and it just fell over. So,
is it just dead? Or
yeah,
is
it won't even power on anymore.
Oh, Jesus.
You killed it, Jim. He's dead, Jim.
It's actually a known thing from Focusrite, because in their knowledge base, it says, I plug in my USB interface, the light flashes one time and then goes off. What do I do? And they're like, the device is dead. Contact support.
Yeah.
And pay us.
So.
How long ago did you buy it?
2 years ago. So it's still technically under warranty. They're finding excuses to not support it. They don't like where I bought it.
Man, Amazon. It's just like the place that didn't want to pay me. They just slow walked it.
Yep. So that's what I've been up to. And we'll talk about the big thing here in the body of the show tonight. So what have you been listening to, Craig?
Come on, really?
Let me rephrase that. What jazz have you been listening to, Craig?
So I am auditioning to get into a jazz camp. So I've been listening to a lot of Monk, because the audition piece is a Thelonious Monk song.
Cool.
Specifically Straight No Chaser, which on the surface looks like a 12-bar blues, but the phrasing is freaking weird and annoying. And also, I am looking at doing volunteer work where I play the piano in the lobbies of Denver institutions. They have them at hospitals. The museum near my house has a piano in the lobby. So I'm trying to listen to a lot of ballads and a lot of things that I could play solo that won't suck. The song I've been learning there is Goodbye Pork Pie Hat, which Jeff Beck does a version of, but it's actually a Charlie Mingus tune. It's just got this super awesome progression and melody that's unexpected every way you look at it. So I've been really digging deep into that tune.
That's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the Thelonious Monk joke from MTV?
I don't.
Yeah. Tabitha Soren, who was known at the time to be a little bit of an airhead, she was interviewing Bill Clinton specifically about his saxophone skills. You know, older listeners might remember he was actually pretty decent on sax.
Sure.
Anyway, during the interview, he mentioned that he was a huge Thelonious Monk fan. And over a hot mic during a break, she turned to one of the producers and said, "Who's the loneliest monk?" That joke still persists on the internet.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
That is awesome.
So, who am I listening to? Actually, quite a bit of stuff. I'm going to start here because you guys are going to hear me talk about this band a lot over the next few months. I'm listening to Ostura, an album called The Room.
I heard of them.
I was sitting on the pool deck waiting for Big Big Train to start, sitting next to a guy from Florida, Alan, and we started comparing notes, and we ended up being like brothers from different mothers because 95% of our taste aligned. But he told me about Ostura, and I'd never heard of them, and he said, "You've got to go listen to this."
Nice.
They are a prog band out of Lebanon, and the best description I can give you is cinematic prog metal. Yeah, and I'll be talking a lot more about them in coming episodes. Fantastic album. Whom Gods Destroy, the new album, Insanium, is out, and it's great. I am just really glad to see Sons of Apollo get resurrected in a different form. And you guys know I'm a huge Derek Sherinian fan, so great lineup. Dino Jalusic on vocals, he's great. Bumblefoot on guitar, just great guys. Also been listening to the new Kairos, Mannequin. There's a little bit of repeat stuff on there that sounds a lot like Celexa Dreams.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But there is some material that comes later in the album that's really, really good. The one I like a lot is called The End in Mind.
Yeah.
Also catching up on a lot of Big Big Train, but I'll talk about that more in the body of the episode.
Awesome. I feel like I'm going to turn into the metal version of Craig, because I've mostly been listening to a lot of metal. We've talked about that ad infinitum on the show.
Mm-hmm.
While we were on the cruise, the latest Judas Priest record was released, and so it was waiting on me when we got back. And then just yesterday, the new album from the Nordic band Leaves Eyes was released. And so they're a symphonic metal band, and depending on how you slice it, they could be maybe considered progressive. For those that are metalheads in the audience, I'm not impressed by this Judas Priest record. I think they need to just hang it up.
Mm-hmm.
But the new Leaves Eyes is really impressing me a lot. So
nice.
How about progressive news and new releases, Lee? What do you got for us there?
Yeah, it's kind of short. Didn't do a lot of digging since we come back from the cruise. But the couple of things that I did pick up that I really liked was Stephen Wilson has announced there will be a new Bass Communion album.
Whoa.
Yeah, this is the first album in 13 years to be released May 18th, called The Itself of Itself. And if you go back to our Stephen Wilson episode, you can hear some samples of Bass Communion. This is the very lengthy ambient experimental stuff.
Right.
Marjana Simkina of I Am the Morning has announced she will release her second solo album, Siren, on May 31st. Again, Whom Gods Destroy, that came out March 15th. Prog metal, Like an Italite. And Al Di Meola has announced there will be a new album coming out. So that's really good news, because he just recently had a heart attack. And good to hear that he's going to be up and running around and doing things again. Again, just a reminder from last episode, Hawkwind, their 36th studio album is coming out April 5th. So, holy shit.
35, Jesus.
And that's upcoming releases.
Oh, awesome. Thank you very much for that, Lee. Craig, what do you have for us this month that's unheard of?
What is unheard of? So, a while back, I think it was you, Tony, I think you shared a Reddit or a subreddit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It had a list of a bunch of bands that one might not have heard of, and they were mostly prog bands. So I picked one of them, and this band is called Bantamweight. I don't know if either of you have heard of them.
No.
I'm going to jump right in and do a clip, and then we'll talk a little bit about them.
Wow.
Interesting.
Here's what's cool about these guys. It's a two-piece.
Would you call that a bikini band?
I would call it a power duo.
Okay.
And what's really, really cool is the drummer, who's kind of the brains behind the operation, he plays drums and keyboards at the same time.
What?
I got...
Oh, that's the clip you sent around yesterday.
Yeah!
Yeah, I watched that.
I'll just play a few seconds of it.
Okay.
Okay.
So he's got a little Roland, like...
Yeah.
It's a MIDI thing.
MIDI controller.
A one octave key and one and a half.
But check us out.
Holy crap.
How cool is that?
That is impressive.
Wow. That's a very dedicated musician.
Yeah.
Watch the ostinato in the left hand.
Damn.
And the bass player also sings. So it's a two-piece. And they do this shit live.
Okay.
That's amazing.
Seriously. So like I say, it's a two-piece. They don't have a lot of social media. They're very up and coming. They're based out of LA. I think they just changed bass player singers. So the drummer's name, his name's Max Kelly. The previous bass player was Keith Shacklett, and that's who's in all the videos. He just left the band, and a dude named John Blunden came on, and they're working on some new music.
You said that, and I was just like, good night, John.
Night, John. So I have one more clip that's kind of fun. See if you recognize this song.
Danny Elfman.
Yeah, one of my kids' favorite songs. I had to show that. And that's just him farting around on YouTube. There isn't even a bass player on that. It's just him and a synth and his drums. They have an EP out called Sounds and Haptics. It's available up on Bandcamp. I have one more clip I want to play. And this is cool because they're changing their sound where they're starting to layer a lot of synthesizers together.
I actually like that a lot.
Yeah, very Devin Townsend.
Very Devin Townsend, exactly. The thing I read said it's got like 500 layers of stuff in there.
I like that.
Yeah, I liked it too. So anyway, they are called Bantamweight. Latest album is called Sounds and Haptics. It's available up on Bandcamp. It's a pay what you want. And they are on Facebook, but not really any place else. Not a whole lot of social media.
Mm.
Everything they have is also up on YouTube if you want to actually see them do it live.
Right.
I don't know about overdubs, but there's some sequencing involved and junk like that. But in general, the stuff that they are playing live is super impressive.
Nice.
And not a single guitar in the mix.
That's wild.
Bass and synth.
I know the listeners aren't going to be able to see it, so go check out these videos that Craig was talking about, because the playing of the MIDI controller and the drumming at the same time is kind of nuts.
It's very unique.
Let's put a link in the show notes.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So thank you very much for that, Craig.
You betcha.
Let's go talk about Cruise to the Edge 2024. All right. We're here to talk about Cruise to the Edge 2024. As we talked about last month in the pre-cruise, we were originally planning to do this in 2021. Is that right?
I think so, yeah.
We got delayed a couple of times.
And then obviously COVID.
Yeah.
And so, as we talked about last month, we had some major headliners on this year's cruise, like Riverside and Queensryche. Haken was there, Lonely Robot. I mean, I'm not going to reread the entire list, but there were a lot of very high-profile performers. What I found out after the fact is actually there was some crossover, because the week before was a cruise called Monsters of Rock.
Right.
Queensryche was on that cruise and on our cruise.
Oh, interesting.
I didn't know that.
And so there was some crossover between the staff and some of the performers.
No wonder they had their instruments.
They should have done the first show.
We're going to get into that. I have a whole lot of thoughts and feelings about that.
Yeah.
So to just set some context for folks, especially if you are a cruiser, and maybe if you've been to other music festivals, how the blending of the two comes together. Just like a lot of cruises, you have to do a check-in, you have to do a safety muster, and all of those things. Unlike other cruise lines, I found it super simple. We did everything either online or in the app. Once we were on the boat, we did the muster call, mostly in the app, and then you went and you scanned a QR code at a muster station, which was a lot easier, I found, than the way Disney does it, where you physically have to go to a place with 40 other people, and then they do a roll call, and it's all at the same time. This was much easier.
I actually didn't know that there was an online muster. I did go to the place and talk to a guy, and he pushed a button.
What I mean by online is you went in your app, and they gave you a QR code, and then you just go and they scan your QR code.
Oh, yeah, that's... Yeah.
It was pretty straightforward, unlike what I was describing with Disney. Lee, I know you've cruised a couple other times in non-Cruise to the Edge context. Have you, Craig?
No, I'm about to do a river cruise in Europe this summer, but I think that's going to be different.
Okay.
Which is also a Prague cruise.
It is. It starts in Prague.
Because it starts in Prague.
That's the only way he's getting his wife to go to a Prague cruise.
Actually, that's how I'll get her to go in 2025. Honey, you want to go on another Prague cruise? Oh, yeah, the last one was so good.
There you go.
So Lee, relative to non-festival cruising, how did you find that part of Cruise to the Edge?
Yeah, it was great. I thought the NCL did a really, really good job. I've been on cruises where you had to do that. Craig and I have actually had to do it, where everybody goes downstairs and you have to get on one station and they're line up in front of the boats and...
Right.
And they go, here's how you put your life jacket on. Well, you didn't have to do any of that.
Right.
It was pretty intense the last couple times. This time was really, yeah, just show up.
Really easy.
It just seems like now they've kind of forgone that. And now it's just watch the video before you get on board.
I like the technology part of it.
They've given up on humanity.
So they had the typical port time. You go get to the port, you go through a staging area, you check in, and then you wait around for a little while, and then I believe our boarding time was like 11:50 or noon, mm-hmm. and the first performance was scheduled for 12:45. That will become important in a minute. Most venues on the ship were still open, except for there were two or three that were reserved for artists, and that ended up affecting me because one of the ways I get through cruising, because I'm not a fan of cruising in general, is I had found that the Pearl had a library alcove, and I was planning to go there and kind of do the recharge your batteries thing and read, but it was actually part of the area that was reserved for artists, so I couldn't actually get to that. So that was a little disappointing. Most of the activities on the cruise still ran as normal, so if you wanted to get like a spa day or there were a few classes on the boat, they still ran like normal. Largely, I ate in the buffet that was on the top deck, but the MDR and the other, and by MDR, I mean main dining room. The MDR and the other non-buffet venues were still open, but I didn't partake of them. Craig, what did you think of the main dining room on the Pearl?
First of all, it was very nice, huge. I stumbled on it. It wasn't really part of my plan. I just kind of went for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
It's morning, and then it's like, oh, look, there's a dining room. Oh, look, I can go have breakfast. Okay. And that ended up being a place where I went to go recharge, because what could be better than having people wait on you hand and foot? So anyway, the breakfasts were good. I had Eggs Benedict, and I sent a picture to my daughter, and she said, that looks solid, man. You did good. Then I went for a dinner one night, and it was pretty lackluster.
Okay.
You know, but I also didn't like go crazy. I just got the fish, you know.
Yeah. Okay. I found the buffet to be serviceable. I've had better and worse buffet experiences on cruises, but it was fine. As I mentioned, most of the other activities were still running. So I did an excursion because we spent 2 days in Cozumel. I went and did an excursion that went down to the Tulum ruins, and it ran fine. I didn't like that there was mandatory fun on that excursion of now we have an hour of shopping that you have to go do. And I was like, I just want to get back to the boat and go see a band. And I mostly am putting this context, if you're someone that's coming along, not really caring about the music so much and trying to see if you can still have a cruise experience, I think that you can. Most of the cruise experience still exists. But to be very clear, the music is the predominant thing. It exudes everywhere. Basically, every main open space from the atrium to the pool deck to all the theaters, they did have events there.
I looked on Facebook, and I think there is a group of women or a group of spouses of people that have gone on the cruise over the years that just go along and they call themselves the Lonely Hearts Club. And I think that they get together and do stuff.
That's pretty cool.
Assuming that the person listening to this podcast is the one going on the cruise. If your spouse doesn't want to come along because they won't have anything to do, you can tell them about the Lonely Hearts Club and possibly even reach out to them over Facebook and make a connection there, and maybe your spouse will be less resistant.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you guys wanted to add just in terms of context setting before we get into what we did and didn't enjoy about the actual cruise itself?
I thought the cruise was great as far as just a cruise goes. Mm-hmm. I go for the music.
Right.
And my spouse will never go in a million years. So I thought the boat was great. I thought the food was great. Yeah, I thought they did a really good job.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
I thought the seating in the couple of the venues sucked. I think we're going to get to that in a minute.
Yeah, we definitely are. I do want to say that from a cruising perspective, I think that the crew did a fairly good job of managing the seas. It largely wasn't an issue, except there was, I think it was day two, I was in the Spinnaker Lounge for an event, and the boat was tossing and turning. And even the folks on stage were like, wow, we barely made it through that upright. So, but other than that, I think it was pretty decent. The way we're going to go through this is we all have come up with ideas of our favorite moments on the cruise, biggest disappointments, and then some surprises, positive and negative. So we'll all take turns here. And I know that we're going to have a lot of diversions here, but Craig, why don't you kick us off?
Absolutely. So some of my favorite moments... Simon Phillips, who is one-time drummer for Toto, has a band called Protocol.
Yep.
And it's probably not a surprise because they're the most jazziest fusionist band that was on the boat. They're kind of like the Brand X of this year, if you will. I love them. Simon Phillips is just a monster drummer. He had a solid rhythm section behind him. It just was really enjoyable. I hadn't even heard of the guy because I haven't been a Toto fan. I'm now listening to all his stuff. It's great.
Yep.
Another favorite moment was at one point, some of the musicians' equipment didn't show up. So, for instance, Tony Levin's stick got lost. It ended up in Steve Hackett's possession. So that's kind of questionable. Steve, I don't know. What are you thinking? You just buy your own. Anyway. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, what ended up happening is the stickman show for the pool deck turned into a touch guitar, drums, and Adam Holtzman show. And it was basically just a jazz jam. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I just thought that was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. You know, just three world-class musicians. Tony Levin was not one of them. It was the other two guys of Stickmen and Adam Holtzman, and they just jammed. And you could even hear him saying, all right, play a whole tone scale here. And it would take about 30 seconds for Adam Holtzman on the piano to sort of figure it out. And then once he's dropped in and found the groove, it was beautiful.
I agree. That was an interesting thing.
Yeah.
And why don't we take a brief aside, just since you mentioned it, to talk about the NCL equipment thing? We were supposed to have the first performance at 12:45 with Baraka in the atrium. And because of this, none of Baraka's gear showed up, right?
Yeah. So I heard all this from the Marvin guys, who, when I get to my stuff, Marvin...
By the way, yeah.
I can't say enough great things about Marvin. But yes, anyway, they brought their own gear on board. They say they have learned their lesson handing their gear over to porters. And Baraka handed their gear over to porters and it got lost. So,
no kidding.
Baraka was affected, Flower Kings, one of the guitarists, his guitar was affected, Tony Levin, and it took at least 24 hours before they found it. So that's a big screw up on NCL's part.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we ended up not having that first performance at 12:45.
Yeah, well, Marvin did it.
Marvin stepped in, right?
Yeah, Marvin
stepped in.
But
that kind of became a theme of shows not starting on time.
Yeah.
So the Flower Kings guy, his guitar was a lefty.
They had to borrow one.
From Casey.
Oh, from Casey McPherson. Okay. I didn't know that. I knew they needed a lefty.
And you can't really borrow a stick because, you know.
$5,000 instrument.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So context setting since Craig brought it up. So Craig, what else did you want to talk?
Yeah. Yeah. So I also really dug Lonely Robot. I really, really like them. That I was excited to see them. From my perspective, they totally delivered. They played their songs well. John's voice and attitude were in great form. Exactly what you would expect from John. And his guitar playing is great. He had a vocalist with him who was the niece of the keyboard player. Her voice was gorgeous and just a beautiful compliment. And then my favorite moment was March 11th was my daughter's birthday and we were on the cruise. And the day before, I got my picture taken with Adrian Blue in the band. And she goes, did you tell them that I'm a big fan? And I said, no, I didn't. So I got this brainstorm idea to have Adrian Blue say happy birthday to my daughter. And I spent most of March 11th stalking him and finally finding him. And he was totally gracious. I recorded a little 6-second video of him saying, hey, Emily, it's great you're in blue. Happy birthday. And I'm the coolest dad in the world. Or I was for a day.
Nice.
So huge shout out to Adrian Blue, man. Thanks. A couple of disappointments. The seats in Stardust were awful.
Yes.
The seats in Spinnaker were awful also. But Stardust, it was like, they just need to replace. They're worn out.
They're terrible.
Yeah, they're not really seats. They're
pizza boxes that lean forward.
That's the thing. No, they lean forward. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to see Jane Getter, but just the way things were scheduled, I didn't get a chance. And I was kind of bummed about that.
Yeah.
Since I didn't see Stickmen the first time, I went way out on a something and opted to see that band. And I got in line super early and got a great seat for Stickmen.
Thank you, Craig. He had us like number one or two in the line, and it was pretty awesome.
Oh, we were first in line. But I did that instead of Steve Hackett. And Steve, man, I'm sorry, because I've been a Genesis fan since the 70s, and I love everything you do.
He noticed, man.
I know. He was avoiding me.
He said, wait a minute, where's Craig?
Hold on, there's an empty seat up there in the balcony.
He's added you to the blacklist.
Yeah. So other disappointments, a whole lot of white people.
Yeah.
Same.
There were more people of color in bands than there were participants.
I would say older white people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I was joking around. It's like, you know, the diversity of old white man on this cruise is really encouraging.
I was disappointed there weren't more people of color there.
Yeah. A lot of women, though. So I was a little disappointed that they canceled the ports we were supposed to go to. And we went to Cozumel. And then overnight, we changed parking spots to a different place.
We did donuts in the channel.
Yeah, we did donuts in the parking lot and then parked again.
Yep.
As far as like head scratchers and surprises, both Adrian Blue and Dave LaRue seemed to be having equipment issues, which was disturbing is a strong word, but watching these guys who are just world-class musicians struggle with equipment stuff, I just kind of scratched my head.
And that was from the very beginning, even from the pre-cruise show.
Oh, yeah. Dave LaRue was in the pre-cruise show, and they were late starting because there was something going on with his amp, or I don't know what it was.
Yeah, he was not happy.
He was not happy, but it sounded great. And same thing with Adrian Ballou. He was like, oh, I think my battery's out, and my whiz bag.
I totally forgot about that. His guitar was messed up on the pool deck show.
Yep.
But it sounded fine. I mean, so I don't know what the deal was. I think it might have just been the Stave mix. I've been a Jethro Tull fan almost as long as I've been a Genesis fan, and was pretty excited to see Martin Barr, but nothing about it was particularly memorable.
Right.
It was cool. It was great to see him do songs of my youth. And then finally, some surprises. We talked about Marvin. These guys were everywhere, every day, all at once.
They did 7 shows in 4 days. So, Marvin, you did more than a lion's share of the work.
You guys are kicking ass.
I freaking loved. We should have them on the show. They're just, and it's the most approachable guys in the world.
Yep.
One night they did a Jeff Beck tribute, mm-hmm. which just was killer.
They did it twice.
Yeah. You walk through the atrium and it's a 50-50 shot. Marvin's going to be playing.
I'd say more than that. Like, yeah. They were just hanging out playing music.
Yeah, at one point they were just standing in the lobby playing acoustic guitar, yeah. little tiny saxophone,
yep,
and doing jazz standards.
They did.
For like the 30 minutes before the Haken Q&A started, they're just sitting over there in a corner just jamming.
Yeah.
They did it a whole bunch in the atrium. And they'd just be sitting there with people just doing acoustic guitar or sax. It was great.
Yeah.
Nice.
Awesome, yeah. guys.
It was beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. Other surprises, I liked rooming with you guys. I haven't had a roommate that wasn't female for, you know, a good 30-some years, and, you know, you guys were great.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think any of us really disturbed each other. We all just kind of went until we stopped, and then we laid down, and then we repeated the next day.
And then finally, the biggest positive surprise was literally, I think I'm on the plane coming home, and I got a little scratchy throat.
Yeah.
And then it blossomed. I'm better now, but it was kind of cruddy for a couple days.
Yep, same.
But in general, just a great, great time. Definitely positives and negatives, but the music was great.
Yep.
Yep.
Awesome. Thanks, Craig.
Yep.
So I'll take a run at this. Favorite moments. Definitely loved seeing more prog metal on the cruise. Loved seeing Haken. I actually think that their sound was great.
Yes.
I only saw them on the pool deck because, again, going back to NCL and other scheduling bullshit, on the day one, we were supposed to have a Haken show in Stardust that started at 11:30 p.m., which is already a very late start. I talked to people. They did play, but they did not start until 12:30 a.m.
I heard the same thing.
And again, I have the same issues that Lee mentioned with Stardust in terms of the seating. I like the acoustics, but the seating was kind of iffy.
Dicey.
Seating and the view. I thought the view we had where we were was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for our assigned seats. Yeah. And maybe we want to talk about that in a minute.
Yep.
So I only got to see Haken on the pool deck, but I liked their show. The thing that I talked about in the pre-cruise show that I was super excited about, they lived up. The band Clone from France. Lee went with me to their Stardust show. I think they was on night 2. And they were also a late start. I think they were 10:30 start. And they just killed it. And then I also went and I was front row of their pool deck show. That's where I got the suntan I brought home. It was awesome. I'll have Lee insert a little bit of the audio because I didn't realize how dialed in for an open air venue on a cruise ship at sea. Their audio I thought was great. We have to leave just you. In general, I liked just being able to float around the boat and just go like, oh, there's a Q&A happening, because there was always Q&As.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're bored, just walk down the corridor. You will hear Marvin playing. Even though I'm not the fan of Marvin that you guys are, but I could not help but be impressed by, they were doing yeoman's work on that boat.
Absolutely.
Man.
Like, such hard workers. Hard work, such hard man. Workers.
And I went up to the buffet just in the middle of the day, and there was Tony Levin, and I just walked up to him and had a little conversation like, hey, man, have you found your Chapman stick, blah, blah, blah. And you'd see him wandering around, or Steve Morse wandering around, or we went and we talked to Rich and the guys from Haken, and I had a brief little conversation with Ross Jennings from Haken about some other stuff on the patio, the food deck on the back. Just being able to have access to artists, and they were all very gracious, was super cool. I put this in my favorite moments, but the weirdest thing out of the boat for me, and this is not positive or negative, just weird, there were two bands on the boat that I had never heard of, and they both were absolutely as bizarre as you would think. The first is a band called Griffin that has fans that are diehard. As diehard as I am about Arion, they are about this band, and it's medieval folk rock. And I went up to Spinnaker when they were playing a show. It was not my vibe, but it was really cool to see people that were really into it. The other is a band called Claudio Simonetti's Goblin. There's a long and storied history of the band Goblin, apparently, but it's like a synth band playing horror movie scores.
I think they did the actual scores. I was looking at it.
Yeah.
In real life.
They actually wrote the scores. They're just playing them now as a band. Claudio and there was, I forget the other guy's name, they were like a score writing duo back in the 70s and early 80s. Again, not my vibe per se. I did like the synth. He had a pretty good synth setup and it sounded good.
So there was like straight ahead prog. There's prog metal. There's Marvin, who the hell knows what they are. There's Griffin and Goblin. It's a lot of different kinds of prog. Do you think that's like a plus or a minus? Would you rather just have a cruise that's all Haken wannabes or all big trains?
I don't know. Like, Lee, do you have a thought on that?
Well, I, in general, like the diversity. I think it's a good thing. It really laid bare for me just how different our tastes are. Tony goes for the metal and prog metal. And Craig, you're really a lot more into the kind of historic prog. So Steve Morse, Dregs, Genesis, Jethro Tull, that kind of thing. And I enjoy the prog metal too, but for some reason this cruise, I really drifted back more to the center of prog rock with bands like Flower Kings and Big Big Train.
Yeah.
I think it's nice between the three of us that we can all go, you know, forget this. I don't want to hear this right now. I'm going to go listen to that over there.
Right. The thing that it laid bare for me is that on that cruise, it's billed as a progressive music cruise, but it was very apparent to me that the people coming on it expected the classic type of prog, right? Like Genesis, Yes, Kansas, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Because the crowds for bands like Queensryche, Clone especially, they were tiny crowds.
Yep.
When I went to the pool deck to see Clone, I was front row because there was only like 20 of us. And that was a little disappointing because it proved to me that the people that were largely on that cruise, this is going to sound a little judgy, but I would have expected more willingness to experiment.
I think you're right. That older kind of reminiscent Genesis, Yes, Jethro Tull, Kansas kind of thing, that lands in the center of that cruise audience. They know their demographic. Let's just say it that way.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's people that can afford a cruise for one thing.
That's certainly true.
And they're a very adamant bunch. When I got back, there was a post on the Facebook cruise community page where someone said, oh, let's get Dream Theater for the next cruise. And a bunch of people chimed in and said, yeah, that'd be great. But there's an equal number of people that said, if that happens, I'm out because I come to hear Yes and Genesis and the older stuff.
Yeah, those were the things that I liked and were kind of weird. My biggest disappointments, everything about Spinnaker Lounge. That venue needs to be exploded.
Yes.
And start over.
Yep.
Start over.
There's no good seating, no good sight lines. Acoustics are awful.
Yep.
No place to queue. If you were going to a show like Stickmen, the queue immediately escaped out of the like little corridor right there by the elevators and then halfway down the boat.
Down the stairs.
And then what contributed to that.
Oh, here it comes. Here it comes. Say it.
Is the CTE VIP bullshit.
Yes. Oh.
I'm going to say the same thing.
They would take in silver and gold VIP, and in a venue like Spinnaker, they're filling up two-thirds of the venue before the general admission folks even get to go in.
Yep, I have the same complaint.
That's bullshit. Made me so mad.
And that contributes to my other issue is the scheduling, because everything was running behind, and not just like 5 minutes behind, like 30 or 45 minutes behind, or sometimes an hour behind. You have this very precariously scheduled afternoon or evening, And if you're standing in a queue for a show, and then the VIPs have completely taken over a venue and you don't even get to get in, you've already blown your shot at the next show you were going to go see. It was complete and utterly unacceptable. I did not like that at all.
Yeah.
My biggest negative surprises, one actually happened before we were even on the boat. And it was the weird casino venue we went to for the pre-cruise show.
Yep.
It was out on what looked like a retired dog track. There were not good acoustics there. Very heavily, depending on where you were, you got a very different sound experience. And you were right on final for Miami International Airport. So every 25 to 30 seconds, there's a very loud plane literally going over the stage.
Yep.
Anyone that's ever been on stage, especially if you've got monitors in your ears, you can't really hear what's going on outside of your space. And those planes were so loud that the musicians were taking note of it and making jokes about it. And then my other biggest surprise, that I was expecting more from NCL as a cruise line. Everything from the losing equipment that we've already talked about to I had an issue with my excursion ticket and communications there, and they were less than helpful. Were kind of like, your porter should have put this in your room. And I was like, but my porter didn't put this in my room. And they were like, well, how do I know you're not trying to get an extra ticket? So that's a personal thing, because I've cruised on other cruise lines. I didn't like NCL. Maybe other people like Norwegian, but I didn't. And then I'll round out in the last couple of minutes here with some things I did like. I said in the pre-cruise episode that I was really looking forward to Late Night Live. I only got to go to it once, but I went to the first night. It was pretty cool. I thought it was pretty neat how they ran it.
Yeah.
That was the night that Shelby Warren was playing, and she did a really, really great job. Airbag, I knew nothing about them at all. There's multiple bands with the name Airbag, and I had landed on one from South America. So I thought I knew what I was expecting, and then found out this was one from Norway. And so I'm going to follow up on them. The audio in Stardust was better than I expected. I agree with you guys on the seats. There were multiple shows where you could generally go to Stardust and it was GA, but then for certain shows, you had to show your lanyard and you had assigned seating for your lanyard. Mm-hmm. For some of the premiere shows like Riverside and Flower Kings and Flying Colors, we were in the right wing for our assigned seats, but the acoustics in that venue I thought were decent, especially if you sat relatively center in the venue near the mixing board. And then I actually thought that the Q&As were pretty cool. I know at one point we talked and you guys were not really going to them.
Oh, they were awful.
Yeah, I couldn't really stand it either. I really didn't like Roy Alvin taking over, and pretty much the audience didn't get to ask a lot of questions, the ones I saw.
I thought that they were pretty decent in terms of band interaction. I did not like our MCs for the cruise, but I think Lee's going to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would go up to the Ocean's Irish pub that was at the top of the atrium and just sit up there and listen to the Q&As, and I found that better than sitting down on the floor.
Oh, right. That makes sense.
All in all, generally, I liked the cruise. It was a pretty decent experience. TBD if I want to go back. Lee, why don't you tell us about your experience on the cruise?
Sure. So I have to say at the outset, this is the first cruise where I didn't fanboy at all. And that made it a very different cruise for me in a lot of ways.
What do you mean by that?
Well, on past cruises, I've definitely grabbed people and gotten selfies like Neil Morris or Diego Tejeda.
Mm-hmm.
Another time, Ted Leonard. But early on, I just saw some interactions that, I don't know, to me felt sleazy.
Yeah.
Like invasive.
Yeah, like one time I was queuing for some show and I watched people mob Jordan Rudess as he's walking by. And probably the worst one was, I think it was when we were in Cozumel. There weren't as many people on the boat because people had gone out to beaches. And I'm sitting in the afternoon on the pool deck and I just look next to me. I'm sitting right next to Steve Hogarth, the singer from Marillion. And we just strike up a very casual conversation. Hey, how's it going? How you doing? Having fun? And as soon as people realized who it was, they just mobbed him, including one guy who ran back to his room and grabbed like five pieces of paraphernalia that he wanted Steve to sign, like albums and posters. And it just kind of was gross.
Yeah.
I didn't do that this time, even when I had the opportunity. I took a leak next to Simon Phillips once, and we were just bullshitting in the bathroom. And then, you know, one time I'm on the elevator with Jordan Rudess and his wife, and all I did was turn and say, hey, man, are you guys having fun? So I just feel like they're people, and I didn't want to do that this time. So that may change how my cruise experience was. My favorite moments, Protocol, just like Craig. Oh, I thought that was the best band on the boat. Just amazing musicians. Very, very tight. The second show they played on the pool stage was incredibly windy, and it didn't faze them once. Phil Wack, the saxophonist, they're just... I couldn't believe how good they were. I mean, I've listened to Protocol for a while, but just to see them live completely blew me away.
I agree.
And I thought Marvin was excellent. Marvin actually gets my vote for most improved band on the cruise. This is the first time I've known they've actually been on the cruise. But I think Marvin has gotten really, really good. Very tight. Another excellent saxophonist. Just, my God. And I did get to see their impromptu second Jeff Beck tribute show, and I thought they crushed it. God, that everything about them is great. And they are just the nicest people in the world. They will talk to anybody. Seriously. They don't mind if you interrupt them, like it, when they're eating dinner or whatever. I can't say enough about them. I'd love to have them on the show.
And we noticed that at the pre-cruise show, too, because after their set was over, they went to the merch table and just stood there forever.
They will stand there forever. So just love Marvin. Can't say enough good about them. And my other huge surprise, I'm going to put it in the surprise category, is I became a big, big Train fan overnight.
You became a big, 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 big Train fan.
Show they did in the Stardust, I thought was amazing. It actually blew me away. Sometimes it sounds like Yes. Sometimes it sounds like Genesis. Sometimes it has a Kansas vibe to it. I thought their keyboard player was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a bunch of guys that need to do screaming solos like so many prog acts are these days. Everybody's just kind of doing their part. And I think the overall sound is incredible. So I became a huge, big, big Train fan. I thought Queensryche was great. I got to see them in the Stardust. District 97 in the pre-cruise party.
That was a great show.
It was a great show. That really made me want to go back and start listening to them again. I thought Flower Kings was going to be kind of meh, but I was really impressed with Flower Kings on the pool stage. I thought they did a great job. And another great keyboardist. So, So Haken, Riverside, Marillion, Clone, I thought they were all great bands. They did a really, really good job. They weren't top on my list, but I thought they crushed it. I thought Haken's pool show was excellent. Riverside and the Stardust, I thought they also did a great job. And I really liked the boat. I thought the food was great. Craig and I have been on that boat...
at least once.
8 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once, maybe twice.
They have really upgraded that boat quite a bit. And so...
yeah.
Other than not being able to put shit on our doors, which I still think is kind of petty, but I thought the cruise... as far as the ship goes, they did a really good job.
The beer selection was awful.
Well, the beer selection's awful, but I'm not a beer person anyway, so I didn't really care. My negatives? I do agree that NCL losing the gear, I think that affected not just the show schedules and things slipping into the night, but I think it really affected musicians' attitudes as well.
Sure.
Because... Flower King's having to find another guitar. You know, Tony Levin's got to be running around in a panic when his show's coming on going, I can't play. I don't have a stick. Who can we grab? Oh, Adam, would you come play keys? You know.
Yeah.
So NCL, you know, they got to get their shit together about handling people's gear. Spinnaker Lounge, I can't agree more with Tony. You got to nuke that place and start over. It's hot in the middle of the day. The sun and the windows is terrible. It's a really, really low ceiling. So the sound is awful. If you're not just right in the middle, the sound off to the side is terrible.
But then right in the middle, it's just that like dance floor.
I wouldn't even go back to the Spinnaker once I saw Dave Kirzner band. I'm like, screw that. I'm not going back to that venue. I don't care who's playing.
Yeah.
I thought there was an excessive amount of queuing. I just had back surgery at the end of December. And so standing in a hallway for me for an hour and a half is really, really painful. Mm-hmm. And we had to do that several times to get into the Stardust. And I think that plays into the whole gold VIP thing, because I don't know how many people buy gold VIP passes, but by the time the general audience gets into a venue, especially like Spinnaker, 60, 70% of the seats are gone. Mm-hmm. That's really disappointing to me. It's almost like they are forcing you to get gold VIP just to get a decent experience.
Yeah.
Right. Which I think is fairly expensive. So
yeah, I heard there's multiple levels of that. There's the gold and silver.
Gold and silver. Yeah.
Yeah. Biggest disappointments. I'm really sad I missed the Spock's Beer reunion. That was the first day we were in Cozumel, and Craig and I went out and sat on a beach, and it was great. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. We had a great time just sitting there and
just chilling,
decompressing, and just watching people shovel
seaweed.
But that very first show Ryo Okamoto did that afternoon, there was a Spock's Beard reunion, and I should have seen it coming because
everybody was there.
Jimmy Keegan was there, Neil Morris, you know, Ryo Okamoto, Nick DiVirgilio, all those guys. So I'm really sad I missed that. I didn't think Steve Morris was all that great. You know, the pool stage show was pretty good, but I thought the pre-cruise party, that's another Steve Morris show that I've seen that it just feels like he kind of phones it in.
Yeah.
And I don't know what Dave LaRue was on about, because he sounded fine. So,
yeah.
Adrian Belew on the pool stage, it kind of felt to me like watching your granddad play guitar. Because he really seemed like
your granddad who can't turn on his iPhone.
Yeah, he couldn't like figure out the battery and... And he also plays with a loop machine on a stomp box. And sometimes he would stomp it in and it would be off beat.
You missed it. Yeah.
The drummer would have to catch up. And it just seemed very weird to me. I don't know. I was really disappointed in that show.
Both of them kind of had a old guy past his prime vibe.
I got the strong feeling watching Julie Slick, his bass player, that she's kind of panically looking at the drummer. Like, if we get off, you and I got to like pick this back up. So
Yeah.
I have to say that, like, we've talked about this before in other contexts. It blows my mind how height of their ability musicians often don't know how the technology that makes their skill work.
I'm not sure he is height of his musicianship.
Fair.
That's okay. Kind of my point.
Certainly Steve Morris is not, and he's the first to admit it.
I don't think Adrian Belew is either.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the other thing I hated was somebody on Cruise to the Edge planning committee put Dream Theater everywhere on the ship speakers. You could not avoid Dream Theater wherever you went.
Even Jordan made a comment about it.
Yeah.
I was waiting for Big Big Train to start, and they played nothing but Dream Theater for an hour and a half, and they even repeated songs that they had just played 10 minutes earlier. I love Dream Theater, but come on. I was sick of that.
You know, when Jordan Rudess comes out on stage for a live show and he's like,
"Hey man,
it's been really interesting walking in the corridor and hearing
my own
song."
What's the deal with you guys with Dream Theater? So,
yeah.
And then I did a category of not great, not bad, but just meh. And for me, Lonely Robot, I thought was a meh. I didn't really like that pool stage show. I thought Martin Barr also was a meh. I wish they had kicked off the cruise with somebody else.
Yeah, someone stronger.
But it probably fits the demographic perfectly because
it's
going to be a bunch of Jethro Tull, you know. But but I don't go to listen to a bunch of retreads of like, you know, Old Yes or Old Kansas or any of that. So, yeah. And Airbag and Life Signs were both kind of meh for me.
I agree. Yeah.
Flying Colors. I don't even know why Flying Colors is on a prog show.
Same.
I thought Flying Colors was a huge disappointment.
So the thing about Flying Colors is people that went to their first shows, because they were one of the shows where you had to have a badge, like an assigned seat.
It was like first night.
People that went to the first seating of that were then walking around
the
boat.
They were raving about it.
Oh my gosh, that was such a spiritual.
It was amazing.
It wasn't that they were saying it was a good show. They were saying spiritual.
One guy
and
was
mind
like,
blowing.
I cried. I cried during that. Literally, I heard somebody say that.
I was really disappointed in that show. I walked out before it was done.
Yeah, you left. I stayed for the duration. I tolerated. I thought it was good. I didn't think it was Prague, but it was enjoyable. It was pleasant.
So for me, the cruise started with a meh with Martin Barr and kind of ended with a meh with Flying Colors.
Yeah.
And I thought the presenters were pretty meh. Jimmy Keegan, Roy Avon, I think we can do a lot better than that. But again, my biggest surprises was Big, Big Train. I did not expect to walk away with this kind of result, and I was blown away. So I have gone and started picking up everything Big, Big Train does. I can't wait to get into this. So listeners, I just want to say, if I've crapped on them in the past, I was totally wrong, because now I am a huge Big, Big Train convert. And Marvin, I thought Marvin is absolutely the most improved band on the boat, in my opinion. Such a good band. I would have them on this show anytime.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Awesome.
Awesome.
15 minutes of fame.
I think we covered a lot of ground. Let me go around and get one last thought from each of us. So I'll start with you, Craig. If you had to sum up your cruise experience in one or two sentences, how would you sum it up?
I would sum it up as I might be done with the Prague cruise. Don't hold me to it. It was great. It's my fourth one. Really dug it. And it's a great experience. And it's an excuse to go on a boat. But I don't know, man. I've been thinking a lot about it. And I just don't know if it was enough to make me want to come back.
Okay. How about you, Lee? One or two sentences about your experience.
Yeah, overall, great. I loved running around every day and just seeing tons and tons of music. But similar to Craig, I just don't know that I want to come back to this particular cruise. I'd like to look for something that has a little more prog metal and something with a little less of the older memory kind of prog. I'm just kind of done with that.
It's cool.
And I would say I think I'm in the middle of the Venn diagram of you guys. I mostly enjoy doing it with friends.
Yeah.
I mostly enjoyed being able to see bands I might not otherwise have an opportunity to see, like Clone. But I'm not a cruiser anyway, so the music was the draw. And given some of the logistics that got in the way of me seeing some of the music, that might turn me off for a future cruise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Lee, you talked to a bunch of people on the cruise. Did you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I probably interviewed 20 different people. Just what do you like? What are you having fun with? Who's been your biggest surprise? And it'd be great to play all of those. But what I really want to do is just play one interview I had with a guy named Joe, because it really made me appreciate being able to be there.
What's your name?
Joe.
Joe, where are you from?
Connecticut.
Connecticut?
Yep.
It's a bit of a haul to get here, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Sixth cruise, though.
Sixth cruise?
Yep.
Sixth cruise to the edge.
Cruise to the edge.
Dude, I'm impressed. This is like my fourth, I think, so.
I mean, everyone has its uniqueness, but so far it's been a great time. You know, being able to see Big, Big Train for the first time was amazing.
I couldn't believe that.
It was such a great show last
Incredible
night.
Incredible show last night.
And then Marillion the night before. Yes. I'm looking forward to Flying Colors the very last night.
Right.
I mean, we seem to have our regulars that come. And thank God, because, you know, let's face it, we're all not getting any younger.
Yep. You and me both.
So 6 weeks ago, I was diagnosed with mass in my lung. 5 weeks ago, I had a brain tumor removed.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I convinced the doctors that I needed to go because music is so good for my soul right now. And I said, I need that to fight.
Good. You getting what you need?
Yep.
Good. Best of luck to you, Joe.
Thank you.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah. So, Joe, keep fighting. You're 100% right. Music is good for the soul, and I will look for you on the next cruise.
Yeah.
As we exit here, don't forget, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter, now known as X, at the handle at UP3Show, and on Mastodon at UP3Show on the Mastodon, the social server. Our email is up3show@gmail.com, and we definitely want to hear from you, especially if you were on the cruise. We would like to hear if you guys agree or disagree with our assessment of how things were on the boat. If we get some emails, maybe we'll read some of them on the next episode or something like that. If you want to show us some support, it's super easy. As always, you can support us non-financially by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts or on our homepage at up3show.podbean.com. Also, please take a moment to write a review. This will help make sure that our show pops up whenever people search for Prague-related content. And if you would like to support us financially, we would really appreciate it. We're on Patreon at patreon.com/up3show. If you throw a few coins our way, it'll help keep the lights on here. I hope you guys enjoyed our discussion of Cruise to the Edge 2024, and we will see you next month.
Bye-bye.
Hey, folks. Tony here. If you made it this far, congratulations. You're getting everything you can out of this podcast episode. As a reminder, we're a podcast about commentary and opinion on Prague music. We use samples of music to make our point and to teach others. We make no claim of copyright to any of the music featured in our samples and strongly recommend that you support the artists we talk about by buying their albums and merchandise or seeing them live. If you're an artist and you'd like for us to change how we've used your content on the show, please contact us directly so that we can work together.